You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, it's the Army-Navy game. Army Black Knights go head-to-head with the Navy Midshipmen, an American classic that dates all the way back to 1890. The Armchair Quarterbacks Radio Network will be there bringing you the action. Army-Navy, Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on YouTube.com/@Braves Country.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today. Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, it's the Army-Navy game. Army Black Knights go head-to-head with the Navy Midshipmen, an American classic that dates all the way back to 1890. The Armchair Quarterbacks Radio Network will be there bringing you the action. Army-Navy, Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show, and the phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024.
here in Braves Country.
Welcome in, Braves Country. I do apologize. We had some technical difficulties here on the live stream. You're watching us on YouTube or Facebook or whatnot. Finally got it figured out. We had some bad audio issues, and I had to restart everything shortly before the show began, so that's why we're a little late. We do apologize once again. It was just some update that they decided to update. We have all of our settings kept a certain way for a good reason, and then all of a sudden you come in and you go, what the hell's going on? I can hear echoes everywhere. It was terrible. But anyways, I believe we're up and rolling. If there are any kind of audio issues, if you're listening live right now, viewing us live, just let me know. If not, I will assume that everything is good to go. And we will dive into this because this is going to be a pretty good show here today. We got a lot of stuff. We are flying today. You're talking about some things that are going on in the world of Major League Baseball. I got so many notes. I make them throughout the day as I'm getting ready for the show. As many of y'all know, I work elsewhere in the mornings, and I'm constantly listening to breaking news and interviews and whatnot, and then we try to put together during the afternoon what we're dealing with here. And there is a growing belief that the Braves are getting close to doing something big. Now, here's an interesting thing. Just saw this from Justin Toscano, who writes for the AJC. Talking to Scott Boras, one of the many agents, but obviously he's one of the power agents in Major League Baseball. And the question was posed to him, asked if he feels Dylan Cease will be traded this winter. Dylan Cease obviously has been a big topic in Braves country. There's a lot of Braves fans have been hoping that he'd be coming his way. Now, we're not the only team who's interested in Dylan Cease, and there's a lot of reasons why. And Dylan and Scott Boras said this, in part, the idea of it is that the White Sox are certainly going to cross the bridge, and there's no doubt about that. He went on to say some other things, but that was the big clip, right? That was the big clip. And regardless of the chances of it happening, wouldn't it be fun for it to be a hometown fit for the Atlanta Braves? As a fan, you can't help but notice something. Every time I see Dylan Cease, every time I see him, you can't help but go, is that Spencer Strider's brother? I mean, they look so much alike, and maybe it's the mustache. I don't know. But he's the one that I would say this, most people in Braves country, that's the one that they want. Now, perfect pie in the sky, Tyler Glasnow is the guy that I would want. But to bring in Tyler Glasnow, you have to assume that we're willing to pay $25 million for him this year. That's number one. And number two, that we wouldn't have to give up an arm and a leg because he's a free agent at the end of this year. If you bring in Dylan Cease, you have 2 years of control. And that's why most people believe the White Sox, who are moving in a different direction, they're basically trying to get younger, that the White Sox are ready to move on from Dylan Cease. And it's not that they don't believe in him. It's because when you know you're a few years away, you might as well try to get what you can get from a guy who has 2 years of control. Dylan Cease is a kid who's 27 years old. And once again, he'll be a free agent at the end of this, next offseason, but the following offseason, 2025. So at the end of 2025, Dylan Cease will be a free agent. And when you look at his contract, you understand why it's going to take a lot to bring him in, meaning a lot of talent to bring him in. Because if you look at what he's going to make or what he's set to make this year, it's estimated, but it should be. Usually these estimations that I get off of this one site, they're usually pretty spot on. It's very rare that there's a big discrepancy. But right now they're basing him at $8.3 million for arbitration. This will be his second arbitration. Next year will be his last arbitration. And it really depends on how well he pitches on how much you would have to pay. If you have to pay a much steeper price, you're okay with that because it means that you got a lot out of him. So that's one of the things that you have to look at if you're going to bring him in and we're going to get 2 years out of him. And if you want to a comparison, this year, Max Fried, and though when he was healthy, he was phenomenal, so don't get me wrong when I say this, you didn't get a whole hell of a lot out of Max Fried because you didn't get a lot of innings from him. Max Fried is set to make $21.6 million this year. So the idea would be is that we can bring in Cease and have control of him for 2 years. Glasnow by far has the best stuff out there. It's not even close. If you watch the game, you follow the game, you know Glasnow by far is the best pitcher out there available. You might be able to make the argument, maybe Blake Snell, but Blake Snell's been extremely inconsistent. Glasnow is lights out. And there's no argument in that. Everybody knows Tyler Glasnow is the best pitcher available. The problem is he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and he has had some injury problems. That's the other big thing. So that's obviously something that you take into consideration. It's why I never really have believed that we would get Glasnow unless we were going to get him extremely cheap. If we were only going to give up very little to get him because they're just doing a salary dump, you would take a risk on Glasnow, and you might just let him go to free agency, and you say, let's see what we can get out of him this year. But if you're looking at building something, it's very, very slim chance that they're going to make a trade for Glasnow and then extend him. Because typically when these pitchers get this close to the free agency mark, they're going to want to go test the waters, and rightfully so. So when you look at that, what you're seeing is the smarter move is Dylan Cease, and that's why everybody's on him. Most folks want him. Now, the argument against Dylan Cease, he had a terrible year last year. He had a 1.42 whip. That is extremely high. That is extremely high. He had a 4.58 ERA. That is a high ERA. So you're not getting a guy who's lights out, but the year before he came in second in the Cy Young voting, he had a 1.11 whip, a 2.2 ERA. The year before that, 1.25 whip, a 3.91 ERA. And the year before that, and that one you can, 2020, that's that season you can just kind of look at it separately in a vacuum, 1.44 whip and a 4.01 ERA. In his career, he's got a 1.31 whip and a 3.83 ERA. So all in all, solid numbers. The only thing that gives you pause is that he had such a bad year last year. But I believe that a change of scenery for Tyler Glasnow would be huge. And Glasnow, or if you pull off the trade for Tyler Glasnow, I don't believe you'd have to give up as much. You're going to have to pay more of a salary, but I'm talking about how many pieces that you're going to have to give up. If you get Dylan Cease, you have a guy that you're going to have control over for two more years, which is what I like, because we're going to lose Max Fried at the end of next year. It's going to happen. There's no way the Braves re-sign Max Fried at the number that he's being projected at. And he's going to get to free agency. There were some folks that in the know that thought that there could be a possibility that Max Fried gets traded during this offseason. I just don't see a scenario where that would happen. Because to do that, and I'm not saying you just absolutely could not do it, but to do that, with Tyler Glass now. Sorry, with Max Fried. To make that trade, you would have to be setting yourself up with someone that you're going to get controllable years on. In other words, you would trade Max Fried, preferably to American League team, for a starting pitcher that you're going to get 2 or 3 years of. And yes, that could line up a Dylan Cease, but the difference is the White Sox aren't there. The White Sox aren't looking to add a Max Fried. So there really is anyone out there in the market that's looking to add a Max Fried that could give Atlanta a solid return. The only thing that Atlanta could get would be prospects. This team isn't at the point where they're looking to rebuild. So scratch that idea. There's still a couple outlets that are still pitching the idea of Max Fried being traded. I don't really think that's an accurate. I think that's someone just throwing darts. Is anybody untradeable? No, but there's certain theories that I just think are pie in the sky theories, right? And that's one. The Tyler Glasnow, once again, if you give up Glasnow, you're not going to have to give up a whole lot of prospects. Because the one thing that the Tampa Bay Rays are trying to do is they're trying to clear money off the books. So they want you to take that money, and they're going to want one or two prospects, but they're not going to be top of the end prospects. So I'll say that there's a small chance that we get that. I do believe that Dylan Cease is the, I'm not going to say that they're going all or nothing, and that if they don't get Cease, they're not doing anything, but I do believe that that's who they're focusing on. Now, a couple things that happened, in case you missed it, I'm sure most of y'all are aware of it, that Marco Gonzalez, and we talked about this on the last show, that Marco Gonzalez, who had just gotten acquired from Seattle, was traded to Pittsburgh for a player to be named later and cash considerations. So that's basically the Braves trying to get him off the books. The Braves will send some money to Pittsburgh to take up to take over his contract, and they will work out a player to be named, and usually those get named within the next few weeks. So Marco Gonzalez, in fact, Marco Gonzalez was actually contacted by the Braves shortly after the original trade that brought him from Seattle, and he was told that he was most likely not going to be coming there, which I think is a stand-up thing for the Braves organization to do, because basically you tell the guy, don't start looking for a place to live in Atlanta, because there's not much of a chance you're going to be here. So he heads to Pittsburgh. The Pirates were looking to strengthen their team and have a left-handed veteran. And Marco Gonzalez for the Pittsburgh Pirates makes a ton of sense. He goes out there. He's going to eat innings. If the Pirates fall out of the playoff chase and Gonzalez ends up having a decent year, they could trade him away. So it could be a very good move for the Pirates long term. Put that aside, what does it do for the Braves? Well, it frees up some money for the Braves. It obviously sends the message once again that the Braves are not done when it comes to the starting pitching. And I know we keep circling back to Dylan Cease, but there are other options. It's not saying that, you know, there's nothing out there that says that we have to be just assuming that the Braves are bringing in a pitcher via trade. There's a very good chance that they could be adding guys via free agency. Now, with that being said, who are the guys that are out there? Obviously, Aaron Nolan, Sonny Gray, they're gone. Kenta Maeda was signed by Detroit. He's gone. Luis Severino was signed by the Mets. He's gone. Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn, they are signed with St. Louis. Wade Miley decided to go back to the Brewers. And so then we start looking at who are the other guys that are out there. Otani's on the list, but Otani doesn't really count, because if you sign Otani, he's not pitching till 2025, best case scenario. So who are the other guys out here? Here's a name that people keep referring to. I would say scratch him off the list. He's not coming to Atlanta. He's not going to be a Brave. and that would be Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman is not a guy that the Braves are going to be interested in. I haven't even heard them kicking the tires on Marcus Stroman. There's a couple reasons why. A, he fell apart at the end. He fell apart at the end of the season last year. And remember, he knew he was going to be a free agent, and he absolutely fell apart at the end. He's being projected at a market value of $15.6 million is what's being projected right now. He's going to be 33 years old this year. Marcus Stroman is going to be looking for a 3 or 4 year deal. Here's the other problem that I don't like when you start talking about Marcus Stroman. He has always been a cancer in the clubhouse. Always been a cancer in the clubhouse. Now, here's a guy that has you could get some interest in, and it's basically just because he would be very affordable. This would be a guy that you're not necessarily jumping over the moon and stars for, but if you brought him in on a short deal to kind of patch things together, maybe you get aggressive at the trading deadline. Here's a name that could be out there. Ryu. Ryu, 36, he'll be 37 this year. Left-handed pitcher. Yeonjun Ryu. His market value is being estimated at $8.1 million. That's an interesting get right there. And it's basically because he's been up and down in injury. Now, this past year, had a 3.46 ERA. And that's not nothing. But at the same time, Ryu being a free agent, and you could get him coming in at that cheap of a price, how long of a deal would he want? That would be my other big question. Because at 37 years old, I don't want to give him more than a 1, maybe 2 year deal, and that would be stretching it at 2 years. Here's the next guy on the list. It's never going to happen. He's not heading to Atlanta. Hasn't been rumored to Atlanta, but you got to mention him because he's a future Hall of Famer. Clayton Kershaw. I believe Clayton Kershaw is either going to be a Los Angeles Dodger, retire, because he's had so many issues and he is injured. And the idea is that he may only be available for about half the year this year because of injury. Or Clayton Kershaw could sign with the Texas Rangers because he is from that area. That's the three most likely scenarios. I don't see Clayton Kershaw uprooting himself and deciding, hey, I want to be Atlanta Brave now. Hey, I want to be a Yankee or a Met or whoever. Kershaw is going to be a Dodger, retired, and slight possibility he could go to the Texas Rangers. I don't buy the Rangers idea. I think he's going to be a Dodger. Once again, the guy's not going to be available till best case scenario from all the medical reports that I've read, you're talking about closer to the All-Star break. And normally when they say that, they never make it to the All-Star break. It's usually afterwards. So you're talking about getting at the best case scenario 10 to 15 starts out of Kershaw in 2024. Martin Perez is another interesting one. He would be a cheaper solution. But here's the guy that I am extremely interested in. He is in Nashville right now, and he is going to be 31 this year. Now, they're saying his market value is at $20 million, just over $20 million. It's being projected at 20.4. And if that's the case, I'm all for this. Four-year deal, $80 million, somewhere in that neighborhood. Eduardo Rodriguez. Eduardo Rodriguez is a nasty left-handed pitcher. Eduardo Rodriguez has playoff experience. Eduardo Rodriguez has been a pitcher that has just been unbelievably good the last several years. And this year in particular, he went 13-9, but you can't go by wins and losses. Eduardo Rodriguez had a 3.3 ERA and a 1.15 whip. That is phenomenal. Eduardo Rodriguez, also, if you go a little deeper into his numbers, Eduardo Rodriguez threw 152 innings, 152 innings, And in that 143 strikeouts, so just a little bit less than one strikeout per nine. He is a nasty left-hander. I would love to have him. But the biggest question for me has always been, as you hit this, A, how long of a deal does he want? Because that could literally slow down the Braves. The Braves, I don't think, want to go more than maybe 4 years on a starting pitcher, and that might be pushing it. Especially someone of that age. The other thing was, if you remember at the trading deadline last year, when they were he was all but a Los Angeles Dodgers. The Tigers and the Dodgers had agreed on a trade. Eduardo Rodriguez blocked the trade because he did not want to be away from the East Coast. So, yeah, we wouldn't necessarily call the Atlanta East Coast, but it's damn close to it. So he wouldn't be that far from his family. The other thing would be, if you sign a deal like this with an Eduardo Rodriguez, you've got to have the ability to have a trade. So you don't want to sign this guy and give him a no-trade clause. Because let's say things don't go the way you expect them to go in the 24 or 25 or 26, whatever year. And you decide you want to dump some salary and recalibrate the following season. You can't have someone who's going to be blocking trades. So E-Rod, though he's phenomenal, and he's been phenomenal in the postseason, the big question is the signability with him. The Seth Lugo thing is interesting because I've seen that Seth Lugo is in I'm responding to the comments from is that the YouTube feed from Summit. The thing about Seth Lugo that's interesting, I've seen him rumored a little bit with Atlanta, but evidently he's in pretty deep talks with the Boston Red Sox. And I honestly don't mind the idea of Seth Lugo. I think Seth Lugo is a very solid veteran starting pitcher. My question would be, if you sign a Seth Lugo, how long of a deal does he want? Because Lugo, what is he, 34 somewhere? Yeah, he's just turned 34. But his market value is being projected just under $10 million. When you compare that to some of the other guys, that's actually pretty darn good. I can't imagine Lugo would expect more than a 2 to 3 year deal. And to be able to be on a contender, I think would be a big thing for Lugo, because Lugo is a guy that is going to be out there looking for not just some financial stability, but he's got to be at a point in his career where he's not expecting to get frontline money, but he wants to make sure he's in your rotation. He doesn't want to be yo-yoed like he was with the New York Mets. If you remember his career at the New York Mets, he was constantly being yo-yoed in and out of the starting lineup into the bullpen, He got a chance to be in the starting lineup with the San Diego Padres. I thought he had a hell of a damn year. We faced him once. I watched him pitch a few times, and he throws a heavy ball. He keeps the ball in the ballpark. He's a gamer. I like Lugo a lot. Now, he's not someone you're going to back the truck up for, but that's one of the reasons why I like Lugo. Other guys that are out there, when you look at what's available right now, and we talked about Ryu. We talked about, the Julio Urias thing is just odd. It's odd. I don't know what's going to happen with him, but I think he might get blackballed this year. And that brings us to a guy that everybody wants to talk about, but yet no one in Major League Baseball wants to talk about, and that's Trevor Bauer. Does Trevor Bauer have a route back to Major League Baseball? I think the man deserves a chance to come back into the game. Everything that we found out about the accusations against Trevor Bauer ended up being not just false, fabricated. But for whatever reason, I haven't even heard a rumor of Major League Baseball teams talking to Trevor Bauer. So I don't know if it's his camp that has been doing some things that have turned them off. Because the thing is, if you sign a Trevor Bauer, at the very beginning, it's going to be a PR nightmare. The next thing you would have to deal with is with Trevor Bauer is if you were to sign Trevor Bauer, there's got to be an understanding that, hey, if we sign you, you cannot get in front of the media and start pounding your chest and play the victim. Just identify the fact that you were falsely accused and move on and let's focus on baseball. And I think that's the one thing that they would be a little concerned with, because if you follow Trevor Bauer on social media and whatnot, he tends to ruffle some feathers. Let me see here. Giolito, man, I am not a fan of Giolito. Giolito gets bombed every time you see him in the lineup the second time. And here's the other thing about Giolito. He's 29, and they are saying that he is expecting. Now, this is not what his worth. His market value is being listed at 11.8. But right now, Giolito is being rumored to be asking for a five-year deal somewhere just south of $75 million. So we're talking about $15 million a year. I saw that in a report the other day, and I mean, I'm sorry, but Giolito, I don't mind bringing Giolito on a one-year deal, a prove-it deal, but he's been terrible the past couple of seasons. I'm not sold on Giolito, but I wouldn't be against it if it's just a one-year prove-it deal with maybe a club option. But to bring him in for, you know, several more than 1 year on a high AAV, I don't want to say that sets a dangerous precedent. I just think you're being foolish with your money. If you get to the end and you haven't found anything, and honestly, if we had Giolito, we signed Giolito, that is literally everything else fell apart and like, all right, got to have somebody. I mean, honestly, at that point, I'd rather sign Alex Wood. You wouldn't have to sign him more than to a two-year deal, and his AAV projected market value is around $6 million. I would much rather give a chance, because with Alex Wood, the thing is, you know you're only going to get about two times through the lineup, and Alex Wood knows that, and Alex Wood is fine with that. Alex Wood is also a perfect candidate when you get to the postseason to be coming out of your bullpen. Giolito's still a little head in the clouds type of player that believes his worth is much higher than what it really is. So that's what, it's not that I don't think Giolito wasn't once good. He was, but it doesn't seem like he's, first of all, he's lost velocity off his fastball almost 2 miles an hour. That's a concern, but that can be fixed a lot of the times. But the other big thing that when I saw the report that he's asking for somewhere around a 5 year, just south of 75, I'm like, good night, Irene. There's no way. Here's another guy who's asking for way too much money. You believe this? Johnny Cueto, who's basically batting practice for people yet last year, along with Michael Lorenzen, they are both asking for over $9 million a year. Now, Cueto is 38 years old. Lorenzen's going to be 32 here in about a month or so. Cueto, I mean, what are we talking about? Why would he be worth $10 million? There's no way that you sign Cueto to that. Same thing with Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber is going to be 38 this spring, and they're projecting him at almost $10 million. Now, a guy that I would love to have, just because we saw him show up in the postseason, he goes to the post, and I would love to add another left-hander to the mix, would be Jordan Montgomery. That, to me, would be... If there was one pitcher left out there on the market, you say you could go grab him and you could have him for the next 4 years plus whatever, Jordan Montgomery would be phenomenal. He is, I mean, I was more impressed with Jordan Montgomery this year than I have been in a long time as far as a veteran pitcher that got in the postseason and just had that bulldog mentality. He doesn't blow you away. He's not going to be a guy that you're going to look at his numbers and say, man, he's got a lot of swing and miss stuff. He is a guy that moves the ball and gets you to hit the small part of the ball and usually bang it into the ground. Yeah, WCG, I'm a big fan of Lugo just because of the numbers. I don't think he's going to come in and be damn Roger Clemens 2.0, but I think you could get Seth Lugo in here on a deal and you immediately have a solid number three added to your rotation. Charlie Morton still probably gets the nod as a three, but he would be a number three. You would have two number threes in your rotation at that point. And then Bryce Elder is a hell of a number five, because Bryce Elder in a lot of rotations is a number three. I have seen some ideas that have been floated around. There were a couple of interesting articles I've seen the last couple of days. One from a Braves outlet. The other was actually not a Braves outlet, so I take it a little more serious, where they're saying that the idea could be that Bryce Elder could be on the move in a Dylan Cease, Glasnow, and a couple other guys named in a trade. And I'd hate to see it, because I think long-term that Bryce Elder is a hell of a pitcher, and I think he's going to be durable. I think he's going to be a guy that once he gets used to going several innings per year, you're going to get a guy. He's only going to get you about maybe five strikeouts a game, but that's okay, because he's going to have an ERA well below four and probably just north of three in most years. And you can't beat that. I'm sorry. Not everybody that you have on your team is going to be a Greg Maddux. You know, you need some Steve Avery's if you're going to make things work. Other guys that are out there, we're focusing on the pitching today. Tomorrow, we'll probably go into a couple of things. One of the things that I did want to put out there, first of all, looks like Craig Kimbrell is, I know he's been rumored to come back to Atlanta. A lot of folks, in fact, there was some writer that put out an article predicting that being a great reunion. Sorry, I was trying to think of the word. But it looks like that Kimbrel's headed to the Orioles. He's in talks with the Orioles. It makes a ton of sense. If you remember, he signed the short deal with Philadelphia this year, right? And he'll probably sign another short deal with a decent AAV. Remember, the Orioles have lost their closer, Felix Bautista. He's going to be gone for the entire 2024. He got hurt late last year, had to have Tommy John. So anyways, he's done. And though they have Cano, they still need a closer. So it looks like, if you believe all the scuttlebutt that's out there, that Craig Kimbrell is going to be heading to the Baltimore Orioles. The other big thing is, I do want to mention this before we get back to Braves talk. Juan Soto appears to be heading to the New York Yankees. I know a lot of people have had pie in the sky. I never believed that the Braves were going to make a move for Juan Soto. I just felt like they know he's not going to re-sign with them. So what? And the Padres are going to try to trade rape whoever they end up being with in this deal, because they got trade rape when they made the deal with Washington. Washington is basically reset their entire franchise with that trade. Well, it never panned out. He never did what everyone thought that he was going to do. So now they're sending him off, and they're wanting to get those pieces back. I don't think they're going to quite get back what they first got. Because remember, when they first got him, they were going to get his services for 2.5 seasons. But it sounds like Michael King and Drew Thorpe are going to be a part of this deal. And once again, back to the Max Fried thing real quick. There's yet another article out there that is showing that the Braves tried to rework a deal with Max Fried, and they were years and mountains apart. So it's just it's not happening with Max Fried. Max Fried's going to free agency. Oh, here we go. It's official. It just came in. The Orioles have signed Craig Kimbrel to a one-year, $13 million contract. So what do you know? I actually got one right there. It's official now. Craig Kimbrel, one-year, $13 million contract. It is interesting, too, that they talked about with Juan Soto, assuming that Juan Soto comes to the Yankees, and it sounds like they're just working out the details. They're going to put Aaron Judge back in center field. And that's going to be because if you missed it, they brought Verdugo back to the Yankees. They made a trade with the Red Sox. That never happens. It's also interesting, too. If you're I saw a Yankee fan post about this morning. She's a big Yankee fan. She's on social media quite a bit. I can't remember her name, but I thought it was pretty funny that she was talking about. And I remember when this happened, when he left New York and he became a Red Sox. And he talked about the reason why he became a Boston Red Sox is because he grew up a Red Sox fan. He loves the Red Sox. He doesn't like the Yankees, yada, yada, yada. And what do you know? He's back wearing pinstripes. That's why these players have got to learn, shut your damn mouth until your career is over. Once your career is over, say whatever the hell you want to say because you never know what's going to happen. And I think it would be exciting to see Juan Soto in a Yankee uniform. I think it would be good for baseball because the Yankees have been kind of a dud the last several years. So if you got Verdugo in left, you got Judge in center, and you have Soto in right is how I would think that they would probably play it out. I guess they could flip-flop Verdugo and Soto. But point being, you could have Giancarlo Stanton playing designated hitter because that dude does not need to be playing the field. He gets hurt every time they try to put him in the field. Let me see. Back to some of the other stuff. I listened to an interview with the Philadelphia Phillies general manager Sam Fold. And the short of it is this, without getting into the weeds of what he said, it sounds like they're done. As far as they re-signed Aaron Nola, that was their big fish to fry. And they'll probably still make a couple of moves here and there. I'm sure that everybody's always trying to improve their bullpen, but it sounds like they're done. I was curious to see if they may be in on some of these guys out there. And I'll tell you another guy that I heard in an interview, and I don't know why, but I did not realize that he was from the Nashville, Tennessee area. So, you know, Braves country. And I know that he went to Vanderbilt. I just didn't realize he was from Nashville. Tony Kemp is a free agent. And depending on what he would want for salary, you know, he's getting up there as far as long in the tooth and whatnot. But he is a he can play several different positions. Multi-position player. Tony Kemp is an interesting ad for anyone. I would love to see him in Braves country, but he may want an everyday role, and that may be really hard to promise him with the Atlanta Braves. See a couple other things. If you missed it last night, they did do the MLB draft order, and the Cleveland Guardians got the number one pick. They are also saying, and this is very interesting, especially because the Yankees are also in on Yamamoto. They're supposedly really backing up the truck to try to bring him in. But the New York Mets owner, Steve Cohen, was in Japan this past week trying to woo Yamamoto to the Mets. And that's not nothing. Because you don't get that very often, that the owner of a team would fly all the way to Japan to try to get your services. That could be the tip. That could be what tips it into the scales of the Mets. I've always thought that Yamamoto was probably going to be a Met. I still give the Yankees a decent outside chance. I know the Braves are in on it. I just don't think they'll be as aggressive as the others. I mean, I heard a projection today, and I don't know whether to believe this or not. They're counting with the posting fee, so it's not just for the player. But they're saying that because he's a 25-year-old, what appears to be elite starting pitcher, and he's going to want like a 10-year deal, they are projecting that with the posting fee, Yamamoto is going to cost $300 million. Now, I got to see that to believe it. But if he's going to be $300 million, I'm out. Not for a guy who's never pitched a single inning in the major leagues. And I have been a big fan of his. I believe that he's going to be good. But I don't know it. He's not a known commodity. In $300 million, and the way these pitchers these days get injured all the time, my God, you better be right. You better be right, because that is, you're talking about, because what they're estimating was that the posting fee would probably be 50, and then you would get 25 per over the next 10. So that's, you know, 250 plus the 50 gets you to 300. You better be right, because if you end up with a flop, you are paying $25 million a year to a pitcher. You better be right. You better not swing and miss on that. That is your, that's your career at stake. Now, a guy like Brian Cashman of the Yankees, he can make that mistake because he's had a hell of a career. If he gets fired over because he's wrong about that, whatever. If he still wants to get back in the game, someone will hire Brian Cashman. But you better have a lot of equity build up if you swing and miss on that. I couldn't believe the number when I heard it. $300 million. The other bet, now this was just the kick in the grapes this morning. I woke up this morning and I saw this and I was like, are you serious? And I don't know. There's a part of me it just made me nauseous. It's about as pukey as that a college football playoff argument that's been going on. Michael Tonkin is a New York Met. So Tonka truck has headed to the New York Mets. And it is just, I mean, I like Tonkin a lot. He signs a 1-year deal, goes to the Mets. As far as I saw the numbers, it was about $1 million. Welcome in, Lonnie. But what's going on right now with having Tonkin going to the Mets? And I know he's not an elite relief pitcher, but he was a good innings eater. And with all that being said, I just hated to see him go to the Mets. I kind of dealt with the fact that he wasn't coming back to the Atlanta Braves, but I would have loved to seen Tonkin either in the American League where we didn't have to face him, just anywhere but the NL East. So anyways, he is a Met, and it's a shame, but it is what it is. The Shohei Ohtani, I found this pretty interesting. Let me read this to you real quick. On Shohei Ohtani, this, now he's not mentioned, but we know who he's talking about. So Alex Anthopoulos was asked about this, and Alex Anthopoulos, basically what he did was he was addressing rumors that the Braves were heavy on anybody coming from the any big name position player. So in other words, anybody who wasn't a pitcher. And here was Anthopoulos' exact quote. Read it to you real quick. Quote, we have certain positions that are set, that are accounted for. I can tell you this, obviously, I know a ton gets put out there about us and so on. He continues, I can tell you all offseason, Aaron Bummer was a specific target. And we had heard about Aaron Bummer was actually someone that they wanted to 200. What is he saying to him? I don't know. But we had heard that Aaron Bummer was someone that wanted to be that the Braves were going after at the trade deadline, right? And they didn't quite get him. So he was a specific target is what Anthopoulos was saying. And about Aaron Bummer during the trade deadline, we tried hard to get him at the trade deadline. We couldn't get it done, but that was what we worked on. We didn't work on left field. We worked on Jared Klenick. That's the only position player that we worked on. We've obviously worked on a starter, so anyone speculating anything beyond that is someone who decided to make stuff up, but that's it. And he goes on, and that's basically, he basically repeats himself, and then at the end, he says, anyone speculating on rumor of the Braves working on bringing in position players has been completely fabricated and false. It's made up. So what he's trying to tell you there without saying is the Braves, though it's and it's been rumored a lot. It's not like it's one writer, one random writer. It's been rumored a lot that the Braves are not in on a position player. Well, you've got to take that to mean Shohei Ohtani, because Shohei Ohtani is not going to be a pitcher this year. So that kind of tells me right there. I mean, it's what we've all kind of expected to begin with, but it kind of tells me that the Atlanta Braves are out on the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes. And I never really believed it, but I wanted to believe it, right? We all wanted to believe it. So there you have that. Welcome to everybody in the chat. If you do have any comments or whatever, please fire them away. We'll take anything. I know a lot of folks listen to this during work and everything. You don't have time to, you know, to chat and whatnot. But we've got a few more minutes, and I did want to hit on a couple of other things, because the Red Sox making that trade with the Yankees, it makes me think that the Red Sox are making room for an outfielder. I've always told you that I thought that Boston was the dark horse for Shohei Ohtani. I'm not saying this is why they're doing it, but what I am saying is it's very interesting. Also heard a very good interview, was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was the day before, from Alex Cora. And he was talking about how many players that they've got coming back healthy. And honestly, I think the Red Sox could have a pretty good core. So they could. I still think for the Red Sox to get Shohei Ohtani, they've got to promise to spend more money across the board. So you see Robert in there. Robert, I do believe that we're going to, that we will sign someone. I don't, well, if it depends on what your definition is. It's either going to be a trade or it's going to be a free agent. I do not believe we're going to see this. There's no way they tore all this down, right? With all the moves, getting rid of Kyle Wright, getting rid of Mike Soroka. And I get they are where they are in their career, but they moved a lot of pieces. And we're down to, what was it, 32 on the 40-man right now? I just have a hard time believing that they did all that just to bring in Jared Klenick and Aaron Bummer into the bullpen and into left field. I believe that the plan right now is to have Klenick and Vaughn Grissom in left field as a bit of a platoon. But I also believe that Vaughn Grissom may be that piece that we end up having to give away that nobody wants to see go, but Vaughn Grissom could be that piece that brings in Dylan Cease. So it depends on what your definition of signing. If they don't get Cease in a trade and they don't get Glasnow in a trade, I've got to believe that they are going to get some other big fish, maybe a Jordan Montgomery. There's been a couple of others out there. We'll hit them up real quick before we have to jump out. I got to get to the other station here in a minute. But a couple other guys that have not been talked about a whole lot. You look at the market value of some of these guys, and so by definition, they're one of the higher ends. Now, I don't think anybody's going to take a chance on Julio Urias. We'll put him aside. Julio Urias, he's got too much legal drama going on behind the scenes with him. I just think he's going to get blackballed until he can get all that figured out. The guys that are out there that I think are realistic for the Braves, I'm not putting Stroman out there. I don't believe they're going to go after him. I do believe there's a possibility the Braves go after Corbin Burnes. Now, Corbin Burnes is someone we haven't talked about yet. He is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. So I don't believe you're going to have to give the moon and the stars for Corbin Burnes. Corbin Burnes automatically gives you, I mean, if you add Corbin Burnes to the Atlanta Braves, we don't have one. We don't have two. We have three aces. Because tell me a team that would have a better starting rotation, especially at the top, but tell me a team that would have a better starting rotation if you had Max Fried, Corbin Burnes, in either order, and Spencer Strider. And, oh, you're going to follow that up with your number four guy is going to be Charlie Morton, and number five, unless he's involved in the trade, would be Bryce Elder. If you do have to move Elder in the trade, you could easily bring AJ Smith-Shawver or some version of AJ. You may not expect AJ to go to the post 30 times this year, but you could expect AJ to go to the post 15, maybe even 20, and spell the rest with a couple of the other guys. And if you do that, I still think there's a possibility, assuming that Elder's a part of the move, I still think there's a pretty good possibility that the Atlanta Braves would sign a cheaper back-end guy. Maybe that's where you go in and you get a Lucas Giolito, Martin Perez, a James Paxton. You know, no one's talking about him much. He's 35 years old, had a pretty solid year. He's not going to be asking for a long-term contract. You could probably get him for a pretty – what's his market value sitting at 9.3? So you could probably get Paxton in on a 2-year 17 deal. Couple of the other guys that are still out there that we haven't hit up. We'll do more of this tomorrow. We will be back again once again tomorrow finishing up the winter meetings. Michael Wacha, 32 years old, but they are putting his market value at 18.1 million. So to sign Wacha, he's probably going to want a 4-year deal because this is his last chance to get the big splash. And on top of that, he's 32. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. I got a jam. Appreciate y'all hanging in here with us. Sorry we got started late. Technical difficulties. It sucked. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good one. And go Braves, baby. Go Braves. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.